You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Well, well, well. as if things weren't weird enough, I connect. This is what happens right now. If I connect to Studio B, Revolution Radio, I get this. Yeah, it's just going eight. So it's very strange. And I don't know really what's going on, but it's for the moment, we're going to continue Journeys with JP on Wall Street Radio, and if Revolution Radio decides to fix itself, I'm just going to put in, see what happens. I'm going to just put in the chat room, join me on wolfspiritradio.com/listen, and then in a few moments we will be ready to go. Thank you, everybody. So good on you, those of you who are listening on Wolf Spirit Radio. You've made the right choice. Because that's the choice, that's the number one station for Journeys with JP. And tonight, I am journeying with dear friend, Lisa Melendez. New dear friend. How are you, my dear?
Hello, how are you tonight? It's a pleasure.
Excellent. Well, it's a very strange evening for me because I've been working all evening, making things happen, and I'm literally holding everything together with, secondhand equipment, and my main computer has decided to die and not work for me anymore. And so I'm just, as they say, winging it to find... So I've got you coming through a teeny tiny laptop. Tiny little laptop. It's about like six inches square. And I plugged the keyboard and a mouse and a massive TV into it. So I've got a huge screen.
And we shall carry on. We shall carry on.
We shall carry on regardless. We are here on Wolf Spirit Radio. Hopefully you should... let me just check. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I'm just getting the...
The chat.
Yeah, in the chat room in Wolf Spirit Radio, which is /listen. Well, yes, we need Zaphod. Certainly do. Well done. So everybody's now connected. My guest tonight is Lisa Melendez. Pronounce it for me, please, Lisa.
Lisa Melendez.
Melendez. There's several ways, several places you could emphasize it. Lisa Melendez, now you've come in under our radar, and anybody who has been following any of the Andronicus papers, there are
the Andronicus transmissions,
will find that. Every week I add some new pictures to the now rather crowded YouTube page, and some of the new material has come through from Lisa. There's a picture of Andronicus that came off a few weeks back, and then recently in comes Rodan, the new a wannabe star of the show, really. He's kind of usurping usurping the space. Anybody who doesn't know what the heck I'm talking about, do tune into my YouTube channel, which is Studio 9 Jam on YouTube. You can get through it from my Wolf Spirit Radio links, and also from my Ever Beyond Radio. So my own station is Ever Beyond Radio, and I've got archives everywhere. And the YouTube account is Studio 9 Jam, Studio number 9, J-A-M, because that's why I originally started the YouTube channel. So it's attached to my primary email address. So I've got this YouTube channel, and I literally owned a studio, or rented a studio. It was called Studio 9, and I literally had a jam session every week for 9 years in the noughties, in the, 2010. 2009. That's why it's called Studio 9 Jam, and now I'm not a musician, and I use my mixing desks and sound equipment to bring as much truth, cram as much truth into your earballs as possible.
Once a musician, always a musician.
So, indeed, you can find... I'd like to find more musicians... because they can do the production of, they can do this stuff, because the equipment needed to make music is the same equipment you need to run a radio station. There's very little else software, and it's all free. You can use this mostly free software to run a radio station. So, anyhow, that cut everything in. Where should we start tonight? Like I said, I'm holding this together with sellotape and string, with duct tape and pieces of twine. And if things kind of fall apart, then that's normal. A is fine. Telling my hosts, right? Okay, so I'm just checking on B. Will be ready in a minute. Okay, so we'll be back on the air on Revolution B in a couple of minutes' time. So I'll join you all then. So let's just kind of start. Who is Lisa Melendez? Where should we start? Can we? How about what is Lisa Melendez?
Hi.
Where is Lisa Melendez?
Where is Lisa Melendez? Well, my computer just went blue screen just right now.
You really blue screen? Yeah, you must have a Microsoft computer. They're really good at this moment.
Yeah. Aren't they? considering the fact that that they keep asking me to upgrade to 10, but okay, so we shall try to carry on as we do.
Despite all of these interruptions, you probably heard some of the Andronicus transmission tapes. Well, you have heard them all, and we often have terrible internet connections, and sometimes we have marvelous internet connections. It's very random. I don't
the
really
last
know how.
The last one I recall specifically was the Rodin one, where it wasn't the first one where he first appeared. It was the second one, and we seemed to have I believe we had to end the program a little bit earlier because I don't think any of the calls could get through.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, actually, it looks like we're on Studio B, so thank you very much, Hawk, for bringing us in now. Welcome to... Let me just do the announcement thing. Welcome to Journeys with JP. It is...
I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's completely insane here, and I'm going with it. It's now the 8th of December. I think it was the 7th of December when we started. It's 7th of December 2015. This is Journeys with JP. We've had to start late because of technical issues in Studio B. So thank you very much for joining us and having patience. And my guest tonight is an artist who has brought herself into our circle through receiving images and information and then saying, "Here, look at this. This is what I did." And we're going, wow. Wow, this is special. So it's very interesting. You've provided some insights and other things. So I'd like to welcome you now back. You know, Wolf Spirit people have heard this, but welcome, Lisa Melendez. Good afternoon. How are you?
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Good evening. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm joining the Mad Hatter. JP.
Mwahaha.
We're having quite a party here. With all these computer glitches, but nonetheless, here I am. And talking about the 8th, you said we started on the 7th, but today's the 8th for you across the pond.
Yes.
So we have the number 8 repeating over and over again on Wolf Spirit, and that never seemed to happen before.
No, that's quite unique.
And, not sure what that was.
Yeah, I really don't. I have to say, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 screens in front of me, each one doing a slightly different thing to bring all this together. I've got one that plays music, and I've got one that records, and I've got one on the chat room, and one on the other chat room, and it's very complex. It's very complex for a bear of my small brain. Such little brains I have, and such many things I have to do with them. And one of the things that I've been doing is I started out being a producer for Jessica Ariel Morocco, and she has a radio show on Thursday mornings from American's point of view, the Thursday evenings from British point of view, and I was just doing regular. It was just a regular show with guests and content and all that stuff. But about 6 months ago, she came and said, I got this message through from this guy. It's a bit weird, but would you mind reading it for me? And I said, oh, sure, I enjoy reading out. And, you know, we've been doing some book readings. And so it's played out as a conversation, really, because he talks to her and she asks him questions and he answers the questions, and we thought it would be just a tiny little thing, and it would, he'd be gone and moving on and not doing any more transmissions. But it started once, and it went the next week and the next week and the week after that and the week after that. And I thought, wow, this is pretty good. Maybe I should put this on YouTube. So I started putting it on my YouTube channel, and people started tuning in. And although I never answer any of the comments or things on YouTube, because if I did, I would be sucked down a black hole never to return. All right, I will never do this. So don't. Just those who are following us on YouTube, don't like send me a message on my website or something like that. But don't leave comments or anyway. I've got about 95% approval rating. It's like it's 5% of people who think I'm a twat. We can say that in Britain. Can we say that in America? I don't know. Anyway. anyway.
Well, you can say anything.
I've said it anyway. Anyway, so. All the YouTube comments don't get read, basically. But we are publishing it week by week, and it has built up into quite an interesting story. The guy starts off, his name, he's Andronicus, and his he's got a designation. He's a number. He's not a free man by any means.
It's extremely convoluted how it unfolds, but yes.
And it's a story that begins a long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away, in fact. Well, actually, not that far away from our galaxy, the Andromedan Galaxy. M31, I think it's called. It's the story about a race of humanoids who were enslaved by a race of reptilians.
The Vinkala.
The Vinkala.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. The Oh, sorry. No, I'll blew that one. I'll have to wait for the next opportunity. But the Vinkala seem to be like a reptilian race, but they seem to have something hidden inside them. And by looking at, you know, the current information that's going around the web at the moment, essentially they seem to have been infested by black goo. And this is, you know, as I said, a long time ago and a long way away. What were your thoughts when you did you start putting this thing together? Have you heard of the black goo, Lisa?
Yeah, I heard initially from Miles Johnston. He was talking about the Falklands War and afterwards how all the scientists were killed, all the Marconi scientists were killed after having to do experimentations and all that. But apparently if it's frozen, it's gray, and when it defreezes, it becomes black.
That's right.
What?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I always question the BP oil spill that happened a few years ago. I mean, I'm not sure if that was intended to spread additionally anything from the depths that they say was accidental, but I think it was intentional.
I'm inclined to agree, you know, that the BP oil spill was all about spreading some black stuff around and doing stuff like not trying to let it get to the surface. There was this whole thing about, you know, making it sink. And I think there was a longer story or a bigger story about that. Maybe somebody might put it in the chat room or something.
It seems that the oil seems to be like a conduit for this. I don't know if it's in AI intelligence or if it's something along that line, but it seems to be a conduit, and I wonder why they delayed having to have Tesla technology, like in cars and electric cars, and also cars fueled with water. I mean, it could be that they want the gas emissions to burn to be released into the air also. I mean, if you look at China with all the smog and places like that, it makes you wonder.
Well, it's like a kind of terraforming, isn't it? To a dark, stinky, almost, you could say, Martian atmosphere, couldn't you?
Well, it's exactly what happened to Andronicus, his planet. It was terraformed in a horrific way that was suitable for the Vinkala. And but they were able to reverse it with some sort of technology. I think you're better at explaining that kind of technology. Did it go back in time?
Well, here's the thing, this takes us to my conversations with Alex Collier, who is an Andromedan contactee, and so appears to come from that galaxy in 5D, whatever the 5D version of that is, and whether Andronicus is a 5D guy or a 4D guy or something like that. But
it sounds like he's a 3D guy, because all he wants to do is shag. Well, let's be honest.
I think it's like I'm making that term a little more popular than it should be. Anyway, at least it gets by the FDA situation. Anyway, it's not on the seven words that aren't allowed to be FCC rules. That's right. Anyway, so So thank you very much, Hawk, little chat, and thank you for saving us from the incredible black hole that the number 8 was sucked into. Anyhow, so and so yeah, back to Andromeda and the techniques that the Alex Collier said is that they've got some kind of camera, and that the camera takes a photo, not just of you, but of your entire holographic timeline. And then, if you're injured, it kind of winds it back. It's a bit like a system restore on Windows. It just kind of winds it back until the last time you were healthy, you know, and then they re-imprint your DNA with that frequency, and you're healed again. So, the idea is that there is a planetary version of that, that they can do that with, that they can actually restore the planetary atmosphere and health. Well, if the planet is a being and they can do that to small living beings, why not enormously large living beings? You just need the type, is it type 1, type 2, type 3 society? Well, I think that would be a type 1 probably.
But which is why I wonder why they didn't do that to planet Zephron when it got horribly destroyed.
Well, maybe it's not their jurisdiction, because it's the, you know, it's not the Andromedans that were. Well, I've no idea.
It was the Arcturians, wasn't it?
Was it?
It was the Arcturians who were cloaking themselves, but they couldn't be seen. But Andronicus, he felt them throughout on planet Zephron.
Oh, right. And these, the Arcturians, are a 5D race, aren't they? They were able to, they're like light beings or something. He couldn't quite see them. Is that right? You know, I read this stuff. I don't listen to it. I read it, and to me, it's like I'm doing it in real time, and then it's gone. Like produce another 10 shows or 20 shows by the time I come back to the next one. So it's a kind of parallel dimension of mine.
Right.
It really is. It's like, oh. Yeah. So diagonally parked in a parallel universe, here we are. And so there's the adventures of this character called Andronicus, who calls himself Andronicus because they were all given numbers.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's an extreme version of that New World Order that we're all trying to avoid, isn't it?
Right. Initially, he was in a prison trying to communicate with somebody who could hear clairaudiently his cry for help.
Is there anybody out there? And then,
ground
he does
control
get
to Major Tom.
Yeah, I mean all of these. Then eventually, they do get released, and for some reason, he says that the contact that he had with Jessica had something to do with their release, and I'm not quite clear on exactly how that worked.
He wasn't too clear on that, but I guess he was able to break through that frequency fence that was prohibiting them from communicating with any outside civilizations.
Okay, and that's what we call here the Archonic Grid.
Right.
And Alex Collier has again spoken about this, that when he gets taken by the Andromedan craft,
They sit on the grid.
They sit on the grid. You were listening to that. That's great, isn't it?
Yeah. It's fabulous. But
That allows these things to happen. That allows communication, telepathic communications to get through. That is what he was saying about that. So, yeah, go ahead.
No, but I also have to say that there's a fine line to tread when it comes to clairaudient or quote-unquote telepathic, or I'd say channeling. Sometimes it could be AI, sometimes it could be some form of shadow government. Do you just have to use your discernment? And if it feels true, and if it feels that it's coming from an aspect from connected to source in the highest good, then, but otherwise, I try to stray away from that. But for this, I felt very compelled, and I even saw the images when the when you were reading the transmissions, and Jessica also, and Rodan came in very, very strong for me. Andronicus was a little bit more wispy, kind of in and out of time. It's a little bit harder to do an illustration of him. But Rodan, the first thing I saw were his eyes, and it just locked on. And yeah, it was intense.
Excellent. And that's, I mean, he, when you, if you go to my channel and look at the Andronicus transmissions and look at the last two, I think, when we bring in Rodan, you made this, I mean, as you said, the image of Andronicus is dreamy. He looks dreamy.
It's wispy. Yes. He came in I was trying to hone in on trying to grasp onto his energy signature so I could just get a better image per se, but it was kind of like wispy, like in and out of time somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I had a dream of him, actually.
You did?
Yes, but this was after I drew him. I had a dream he was asleep, like just floating. Just, and that's all I remember from the dream. But I found it interesting.
So you had, okay, so there's Andronicus, right? And you know, he's very cast in blue. He's like got this very ethereal, wispy, as you say, look. What's the word? Pastels, you know, the sort of grey tones, you know, very kind of, not quite kind of there.
A monotone, mm-hmm. kind of, right.
Yeah, like a, what's the, low saturation. But Rodan comes. Hello.
Yeah, and he came with the he came with the color red.
Yes,
behind him.
That's
and
right. Very in
I was
front.
Like,
yeah, this is so.
Okay.
So we got the blue and the red here.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
I could usually feel energy, and when I feel someone's energy, I usually can see their colors and all that. But when somebody's very heavy with like a heavy, a dark or a presence per se, it's almost like they waft and they leave this trail of heavy energy. And to me, it, in my inner eye, it looks like gray smoke. And it's happened to me quite a few times when I go out in public or whomever, I just, like a person would pass me, and it's not that they have a particular smell, but it's almost like, this heavy aura that is so unpleasant that it's kind of, you have like a knee-jerk reaction, like, you know, shield.
All right, so it tickles your discernment, and with that, you experienced that with Rodan, is that right?
With Rodan, I didn't feel that heaviness. I'm talking about just like if I were to pass by a negative person in general, you feel that heaviness. You feel that, and I almost see like this grayness about them, and they leave a trail of a dark energy when they walk. It's like they kind of just waft through, just leaving this smoky trail. Have you ever seen Charlie Brown and the, who was the kid that always had the
yes.
trail of dirt all about him?
Yes, I know the one you're talking about, the one with the flies around his head.
Yeah, it's like that, but it's actually like a grayish smoke type. And sometimes it's in certain places of the chakras, or sometimes it's completely, I've seen like a dark cloud over somebody's head, but that's not the case with Rodan. With him, it was, I did feel some sense of lament, but I also know he's not a character to fool around with. I also sense that, you know, that he's earned his stripes, so to speak.
Yeah, he, I mean, the characterization that I went, because I have to read these guys, so Andronicus, I started out just in my regular kind of voice, so I had to find some new voices there. I ended up with, he has a kind, to me, he's got a kind of policeman, military kind of guy, and I've noticed that the military and the police all have this particular accent. It's not quite
like
Cockney.
Like this cadence tone. Yeah.
It's very grey. It's like this. It's like you got. It's very straight and down the line. There's no humour at all. It's very matter of fact. You know what I mean? And slightly
fact,
angry. Slightly angry. Just a little
hostile,
bit.
Hostile.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Menacing. That's the word. Menacing.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm breathing down your neck. Kind
and, I was just going to say, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I showed you the picture of Anakin Skywalker when he went to the dark side, and I said, oh my god, that looks like Rodan. It resembles him.
All right, so this is bringing in a whole other... I mean, as Sean was just talking about this, Sean David Moore was just talking about the Skywalker situation.
Well, I heard the last part when he went on the Obama rant. I joined a little bit late, so I apologize.
All right. Well, he, you know, there was a point in the show where it was quite good, and he was talking about like J.J. Abrams and Chris Carter and the X-Files and all sorts of stuff, and how he how it was his fault. Everything was, you know, he invented everything. But anyway, it could well be. I mean, it could well be. You know, he was just there at the time.
Right.
And things that he said just off the top of his head just seemed to stick with people, and he said...
Seemed to materialise. Yeah,
and he was saying, like, you know, what was it? It was to do with a conversation that he had at Area 51 with somebody, and he said, you know, what would
you do? The director for Independence Day.
Yeah, well, he became the director from Independence Day with this one comment from Sean that said... what would happen? This would be the first line of defense against an alien invasion. Here, in Area 51.
This would be the last line of defense.
It would be the line of defense. I mean, at the time, it would be. It wouldn't happen anything. You know...
No, but...
Go ahead.
We have the EDF, the Earth Defense Force... which is a part of the secret space program. We have Solar Warden and a few others that have been released to the public, but it's not in our interest. It's part of the breakaway civilization. I think it's called the ICC.
Mm-hmm.
According to Corey Good, but you know, some information has been coming out regarding that, regarding all the colonies that we have out there, and some unpleasantries, really, atrocities.
This is now into the realm of the secret space program, military-industrial complex world. You're reporting from Corey Good, is that right?
I was reporting from what he has said, but you know, but that's here nor there. I was just contributing to the comment regarding what Sean said.
Yeah. Oh, it's fine. You can take it. This is your show, because at the moment we're talking about Andronicus and how you found us. So maybe in the next, you know, in the next while, we've got plenty of time to talk about this.
Yes, because
we can you know, expand into, you know, what's your universe looking like?
Yeah, because I do have I wouldn't say a I don't like saying a connection, but. An unfortunate association with that type of group. So we can talk about that later on.
Maybe we'll talk about that later. So meanwhile, you're listening to, so I really want to get this to people is that, you know, how this started, it was this single channeled message that, it was a psychic conversation that Jessica had that she took notes of.
Yes, she cleared it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, and essentially she was taking dictation because she was seeing psychically this guy in front of her. And it kept on going week after week and has built up into almost like a sci-fi series. Every transmission is like an episode of something like Stargate or Star Trek. It's got that amount of adventure in it. It's got romance. It's got weirdness. It's got, you know, bizarreness. You know, it's like Farscape and Star
and
Trek.
And is acting like a Captain Kirk. On every planet, you know, he goes about and has to conquer every woman on there.
So you broke up a bit. Do you want to say that again?
Oh, I said Andronic is acting like a Captain Kirk.
Yeah, exactly.
Planet and he goes
where,
on.
Where do you think they got the idea from? Because this is the thing, you know. This is the thing that Andronicus was saying, you know, right at the beginning. He was saying, we communicate with you, and we send you images of our society, about, you know, the dystopian society that they live, and who's to say that many of the ideas of Star Trek didn't kind of come through Gene Roddenberry's brain the same way that it's coming through Jessica's brain, you know?
Exactly.
And, you know, if you're in the position, like Gene Roddenberry was, to create something and to have other people believe in it, and to, you know, particularly other people who have lots of money. Oh, have we lost? All right, hang on.
I heard Gene Roddenberry.
Yeah, so if you've got enough resources like Gene Roddenberry had available to him, you can create a series. And, you know, there's lots that are happening. Everybody, there's all these different series that come out, why not something about some Andromedans? There's lots of ideas. Alex Collier's got a whole series as well. He's got his own series. I wonder if Andronicus and Captain Dinar's adventures, which is his thing, might not share some parallels. They may be part of the similar crew.
Right, and isn't Tanar also the part of the Iraqi Tanar? Just that set of currency.
Oh, I see.
We keep seeing a theme with the Aldebaranian queen, Sharia, and we keep seeing like a Middle Eastern type thing with their history. And also pertaining to ancient Sumer.
Well, exactly. And indeed, there is a female character who at some point appears as somebody who apparently was basically stolen from Earth by reptilians, by the Vinkala, who then proceeded to traumatize her terribly and somehow Andronicus saw her through some kind of time-space portal and schlepped her back through into his universe. So that was a bit weird. I mean, he does all these things that are motivated by lust, essentially.
As opposed to returning her to her home planet.
Yeah, so, way...
Which he does afterwards.
Yeah.
But after his group tells him she has to go.
Yeah. it was very interesting because, you know, being an Earth human, Sumer had certain, you know, these qualities, like we're talking about, of manifestation, and but she'd been completely traumatized, so she was all shut down. And it's when she started to kind of express herself as a human again, that and with emotions and stuff like that, that she herself got rather bored with everybody because everybody was really kind of really very dull and grey to her, a bit too wispy and ethereal, maybe a little less visceral. Come on, give me some feeling here, you know?
Well, I think
I think that they themselves were still in like a state of shock after being in prison by the Vinkala, and the Vinkala have a way of sort of controlling a person. You hear like I don't know if it's high frequency noise, but when they talk, he said something about a high frequency noise that could be heard. I don't know if they were able to express themselves as fully as a human could at that point in time, but it seems like they are growing along their travels.
Yeah. Well, the Vinkara are a very odd race. And then, you know, we come across, somehow, using sound, again, I believe. He was talking about frequency, but he said we use frequency to to conquer the Vinkala. And they managed to find ways of kind of basically getting rid of them, you know, by putting these frequencies up and, you know, sending them back through their own technology of frequency barriers.
So that could be the answer to our current problem here.
Okay, well, get this. Get this. I've spoken to a man called Tolek. And
yes.
He spoke about the races from Procyon.
The Procyon, yeah.
Yes, if you look at Orion, let's just locate Procyon for everybody. If you look Orion, and Orion standing in front of you, and you see his three stars and the belt and everything, if you look up to the left, you'll see a pair of stars. That's Procyon. You know, sort of two stars quite close together, almost like vertical to in the same orientation as Orion. So, These people, I think they're humanoids, basically conquered them using sonic weapons. And they have released, apparently, according to Tolek and these other people, the Tanath of the Silver Legion, all these people, they say that they have broken, basically they break the bases. They use a sonic beam, like, instead of using light or microwave, they use sound. And sound, although you might think, oh, well, sound doesn't travel through a vacuum. That's how they make earthquakes. They make a great big dome and then let it collapse. And that puts throws a sound wave down into the earth. And it throws it down 10 kilometers. Go on.
Do you know what's interesting? In Jupiter Ascending, they actually, you know, they gave a lot of information away, but one of the things that I saw there that I was impressed was that they actually showed somebody using a sonic cannon, which, you know, it is used up there, and I was just in shock to see that on the screen.
Indeed, sonic weapons, and there's this other thing called kinetic weapons, and I think that's like, I'm not actually sure what a kinetic weapon is. Not being up on weaponry, I know I'm supposed to be a bloke, but to me, honestly, I'm done with blowing things up. Let's stop blowing things up. Let's try and, you know, stick them back together.
Yeah, let's have a chat with Zeus. And
so there's this, you know, this adventure with Andronicus, and then. So we ended up with this female from Suma, and he said, and they seemed to speak some sort of Latin-y type language, and because his name was Friend, which was Ami, or Amis.
Proto-Latin.
Sort of Proto-Latin. And, or maybe the Latin that they speak else, you know, in the Empire. Oh, have you got reptilian behind you?
Me?
Yeah.
What? Do you hear my dog?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's squealing like they're... That's the sort of sound. That squeal. That's like the big color.
That's my puppy.
All right. Sure it's not a Vinkala? Little baby Vinkala?
No, he's a Tibetan terrier.
Ah, Tibetan terrier. Ah, right, these Tibetan terrors.
Yes.
I bet he's nice and cuddly, though.
Oh, he is as white as snow.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, what's his name?
His name is Benji.
Benji. Hey, Benji.
Yes.
Benji. Be a good boy. Be a good boy. We just got to talk for a little while. Mummy, you'll be back soon.
Yes, I will. Take good care of them.
So we'll be coming up for the break in a little while. Do you have a blog site, a website, a place that people can see your arts and stuff?
I currently have some on Facebook, but to me it's been very private, a little bit personal, because some of them have to do with the fringe element of being taken against my will, and I use it for healing purposes, but I also do ordinary artwork, but that's right now I'm focusing on my soap artisan type of business that I have going on.
You have products. You're making products, things, soap, nice things. Good. So you're busy before the holidays, there we go.
Yeah.
See, we just had to fill in that little moment. We'll be back.
When we come back,
We'll be talking about the Catritons, Catron, Crichton, lots of people. Stay tuned for more Under the Good Stars. Hey, we are back. This is Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio. I have an important notice. Donations. We got some Christmas specials. We got charitable donations. We got lots of news. So there's going to be if you donate to the station, and there is an excess of funds. So we've got a monthly goal of $2,450. $2,450. I don't know how we're doing at the moment. I'll have to have a look in a minute. If we reach that by the 20th of December, then every time we get any more, we're going to donate it to charities. So half will go to Toys for Tots, and the remainder will be donated to Meals for Vets, which is very nice. And if we haven't achieved that, but it has been surpassed by Thursday, the 31st, by New Year, then we'll donate the surplus to the station's local battered women's shelter. To make that happen, there's going to be a special offer. Hang on. Can I do this? No, that doesn't work. Hang on, what if I did... No? Oh, God, this thing doesn't work again. Right, where is it? There we are. All right, now, if I do this... Yes! Breaking news. A special offer from the station. Any listener donating $25 and over during all shows will receive a variable-sized pocket knife as a gift.
Fascinating.
And it's important to mention that the donor would need to include their postal address details in the notes section upon donation. And since... it costs a lot to ship outside of the US because of the falling dollar. little bubble, ever shrinking. That if you do it from elsewhere, we can't send you a knife or anything, really. It's hard, but we're very appreciative. Seed packs will go abroad, though. You can arrange to have seed packs sent, because I personally have one. Thank you to the thanks to the very kind donation by Swami Mike D from Le Holland. So, thank you very much for being patient during our station announcement. Special wolf spirit announcement. I'll be handing over to Colleen Kelly in a few hours' time, and you'll be glad you've got rid of me.
No, I love it. love it.
So, I don't know what a variable size pocket knife is. Really? I don't know. Please, somebody may need to clarify what a variable size pocket knife, because, anyway, sorry. So, meanwhile, you said you were going to do something. You had a thing that we needed to pin to the pin to our minds before the break. Does it remain in your mind, or are you as unfocused as I am?
Oh, I was talking about we have to mention about the Cetritons. Also,
yes, indeed,
and how they were, how this whole thing came about in Neptune with the, it seems that the Titans were on there, on their way to, the planet Satar, which is known as Saturn, but, it seems that, Cetriton or I think he was the one who became king.
Yeah, well, maybe we ought to introduce the Cetritons first, because mm-hmm. when Andronicus first met the Vinkala, that first started conquering the Vinkala, they realized that they were actually kind of a dim, simple race, but they had some sort of mental component that made them different. And you know, I think that is the effect of some kind of black goo thing. Go ahead.
They had a black stone on the back of the
oh,
the
no,
neck
no, this is different. Yeah, but this is different. But this is not the Vinkala. I don't know if the Vinkala had the black stones.
No. It was the
Cetritons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when they first met the Cetritons, they realized that they were like the Vinkala, but they weren't quite the same, and that they had this particular way of being very aggressive when you first meet them. So they established dominance, you know, it was their way. And by the time Andronicus got to meet them, he was already aware of how the Vinkala did it. It's kind of a basic reptilian, aggressive posturing. And he figured it out, and so basically he didn't stand for any of their bullshit, and that gave him some respect from them. But it was just really chancing it. I mean, these guys could probably crush him with a moment's thought, but somehow he managed to gain their respect and admiration and something. You know, they became friends. And so he meets these what I think we would call tall white reptilians, who are kind of half
the Sikar.
The Sikar, isn't it? But this is
with the wings. That's the royalty class.
Yes, the royalty class, and there's all these other beings. But basically that there's these hybrids, and that's who Cetriton was. And they also called themselves after the name of the leader, you know, so I think they were called Cetrons first because Cetron was the leader, and then Cetriton took over from Cetron, who was like Cetron's brother. You know, it's all because he
cut off his hand.
No, they cut his arm off, that's right. And apparently, you know, reptilians, because, you know, they're too stupid to know they can't do it, they grow their limbs back. So the Catriton was then, you know, because he'd been shamed because his brother cut his arm off, then became the leader. So they became called the Catritons. And it was very interesting because, you know, Jess had said, you know, they're called Catriton and Catran, and I'm thinking, this sound is like the, isn't it? It's like the Jean, or
Aldebaran,
exactly. Yeah, the Debron. Correct. You've been listening.
Do you know what I thought? Also, I thought Alcyon.
Alcyon. That's right.
Zion.
That's right, Zion. Very good, very good. Which is Pleiadian.
Yeah, but the Alcyons are in trouble. They're on interdiction for, I think, about 100,000 years. They keep trying to find a way around that. So they can't go interdiction.
What does that mean?
So they can't go off planet. Basically, space pairing. They can't do that because of what happened on planet Earth. They basically sold out humanity.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I hear your kettle.
Yes. Could you tell us that story? I can hear it as I walk into the kitchen, but could you tell us that story? Because I'd be very interested.
I don't know too much about the details. It happened between or after. It was towards the end of Atlantis. And, they basically, sold us out to the reptilians to rule over us. And we were very traumatized after what happened. And we actually asked for their help, the elders of humanity actually warned against the reptilians and with their helping us and etc. that they were trouble. But I don't know how or why, but it seems that the Alcyons abandoned us. So we have this ancestral feeling, this component in us of abandonment, and it's ancestral trauma.
That's a very interesting thing. So, keep going.
Alex Collier has said in one of his talks from the 90s also, he said that the Andromedans say that the Pleiadians have a lot of explaining to do.
That's what Nikki keeps saying as well. She doesn't like Pleiadians. And she says they're very manipulative and all this stuff, and yeah, are the worst thing, and they're behind everything.
Oh, no. I hope she likes me, though.
Well, you know, she doesn't even like me. Anyway. So, we'll see. I don't know. Because apparently I'm half Lyran, half Pleiadian, so I got the worst of both worlds, as usual. I mean, it's like, it's just so as above, so below.
Oh, but let's talk about it. You have we seem to had shared a flat in Tejeta or something like that, but you and I seem to have had this connection, and it was like, well, I feel connected to Tejeta, and you said, well, I do as well. How did I know that?
All right. Actually, yeah, because you were saying something about Pleiades, and I just said, oh, what, Tegeta? And you said, yeah, as a matter of fact. And, it, you know, Tolek has spoken about Tegeta.
Mm-hmm.
He says that one of the planets, Dakote, around Tegeta, is the original source of the race of Lakota and Dakota and Nakota. And they were all originally about 7 to 9 feet tall, but still very, you know, American Indian looking, as you call them, or what do you call them, First Nations.
Can I tell you an interesting story about the Lakota? A few years ago, this is about 2008, I received something in the mail. It was a letter from the Lakota tribe. It was actually from St. Joseph's School. It's a school with the Lakota children. And I received a letter thanking me and a certificate of appreciation, along with the keychain that was created by children as a small dream catcher. And I never had any contact with the Lakota in my life, but I received that, and I still have that. And it was just unexpected, but the pieces keep falling into place, so to speak. These random things happen, and you just keep, you know, just keep the pieces, and hopefully they all fit together in the end.
Yeah, and you know what it feels like? If you took a high-speed, high-definition film camera and then took a sledgehammer to about 30 sheets of glass all stacked together, filmed that, and then played it backwards. That's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
A sort of reverse explosion that brings things back together, that defragments all of the different fragments till everything comes back whole again, because only of the belief in fragmentation is the thing that creates it.
Right, and it goes along with soul retrievals. It's kind of like you're trying to bring the pieces of you together again. That's the microcosm of the macro, which, you know, all these planets, all these souls that have traveled, that have so many lives on so many other planets. I mean, it's just really incredible how it's all coming together. And that's why I contacted you and Jessica initially, because I saw this thread. And I felt like I felt this connection and a part of this thread, and I just had to say something, you know.
Well, I'm really glad that you did, because it's bringing things. I say it so many times, you must know it by now. Everybody has a piece of the puzzle, and everybody has a piece of your puzzle. Every person that you speak to has a piece that. You know, there's no coincidence. There's no randomness that brings you together. You got together to speak to me for many purposes. There are people listening who may need to hear what you say. There are many people listening who will hear the activation from my voice to your soul that will then come up with something new that even you didn't know about you.
Exactly. Because we're all... or one, and I mean, so about the Ketritons, do you have a history with them, or do you feel that you have a connection to them in some sort of way?
Well, it's just really interesting. In 1980, 30 years ago, I had a bike crash, and in this crash, I received lots of injuries. I was really badly broken, and got PTSD and all this weird stuff. And so this is what got me into healing, you know, because I learned how to heal myself from it. And from learning to heal myself, I'm learning to heal others.
I did too.
and so this is the path, you know. They throw you against the wall, fix yourself. Oh, now you can fix other people who've been thrown against the wall. Here, catch these. Oh, can I help you? So that, you know, this seems to be how things work out on this planet. It's a harsh reality, and so, and in this crash, my ribs broke and sliced through my liver, and so I was bleeding badly internally, and there just happened to be the only vascular surgeon in town. Just happened to be visiting his friend. Just happened to be. Anyway, he scrubbed up. Took 4 hours to stop my liver from bleeding out. I did bleed out once or twice, but they kind of pumped me back up again. And so I'm you know, living on borrowed time, living on borrowed blood, trying to do what I can to serve the human race, which has, you know, helped me remain here.
Well, you certainly have a purpose.
Feels that way a little bit. And you know, part of it is to help people on their way. Mainly, that's, you know, that's what it is, you know, to help people get over those little snags. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if you're walking along the corridor with your jacket swinging and your pocket catches in the door handle. You know, hey, let me do this. Let me just release you from that. And that a lot of that is, you know, just exactly that, because many people are still trying to walk on and their pocket's caught in the door handle. So by unhooking people, that helps everything move along. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Meanwhile, no. No, I was supposed to go, meanwhile, that's what I'm supposed to do, yeah. Meanwhile, we're talking about the Tritons, and basically, they say they're all sons of Shiva, and that they're all, each one of them has their own talent, and they're all pretty rowdy. They're, you know, very forthright. They, you know, they like what they like, they do what they do, they're very kind of passionate about what they do, aren't they?
Well, I think part of it is the black stone that's connected to their vertebrae, or that's inserted in there, because when what happened to Barkum, or I'm sorry, to Borkum, was that when he didn't have it on, he had to go back home and to be re-educated or reprogrammed, according to Primus Teos.
Oh yeah,
who's also known as Prometheus.
Yeah. That's where I'm getting to. Okay, so sorry about it.
Did I jump the gun or?
It was just like I'd finished part of a story that hadn't completed. So this is a sub story about the bike crash. But the bike crash left me with a liver that grew back in 5 weeks. By the way, I'd lost 70% of my liver. There was only, you know, less than a third left. And it all grew back, all the way, in 5 or so weeks. You know, there's lots of other parts of me that didn't heal so fast, and some of them still, just about, you know, nagging on. I'm kind of just about getting there now to be mostly over it. And the thing is, it left me with this massive scar on the right side of my body, kind of, well, sort of up the middle and then across the right. And I thought, oh yeah, oh god. And so anyway, when I finally got my first Hotmail address, I thought, oh, what shall I call myself? I need a nickname. What nickname can I have? Fat bloke with scar liver. I know. I'll call myself Prometheus. So I typed in Prometheus into Hotmail, and they said, oh no, that's already gone. And then I put a zero for an O and a five for the S, and that went through. And I thought, okay, that's fine, because you know, I was in a hurry or something. I just needed a Hotmail address to get an email, you know. So mm-hmm. It was very without thinking that I kind of called myself all those, you know, 15 years ago, 16, 17 years ago, I called myself Prometheus. Anyway,
so... It happened subconsciously.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, if you look at statues of Prometheus, he's not skinny. I mean, he is a Greek god, but he's not skinny, he's stocky. And if I wasn't so fat, I'd probably have about that sort of body shape. So, at the moment, I'm actually getting further towards that than I've ever been, really. So maybe I need to just pump up and rip up. So, meanwhile, So there's this link with Prometheus, and then, you know, the thing about the liver and the peck and the giving fire to the humans. And then the idea, you know, that what I'm doing here is actually quite Promethean. I'm finding out stuff and I'm telling all my friends. You know, that's giving fire. That's knowledge. You know, knowledge is fire. Knowledge is fuel. Knowledge is a energy form.
Well, if you think about the illumination, it definitely has to do with the inner flame, with the knowledge that a person can carry. But the knowledge without the wisdom can be very harmful, and that's what we see here on planet Earth with things like CERN and all that, which I'm not sure if it's even up anymore. I mean, I've heard two stories, so I'm not even sure. But the eternal flame, the eternal spark of the soul.
Yeah. Lisa?
Yes.
Sorry, you drifted off. The eternal flame. The eternal flame.
The eternal flame that has to do with the pyre within us.
Oh, so right. Okay. I'm just trying to get. Yeah. What scientists might call the pacemaker in your heart center, in your heart.
You were talking about that. In a way, you're sort of giving fire, giving information.
Oh, the fire of information.
People.
Yes.
Yes, and we as humans have that inner flame, that inner spark from source. So I was trying to make a connection to that.
All right, okay, yeah, I get you, yes. So it's almost like I don't need to... I don't need to go around lighting people's sparks. I just need to tell people that they've got the cover on. They need to draw back the cover and allow the spark to light up for themselves.
Really. Exactly.
Because, you know, I would be too busy going around lighting everybody individually. You have to light yourselves, people. You know, save yourselves, says Jesus. So, so Alcyone... So I haven't heard that. I'm gonna have to ask Alex about this. You know, I've got a webinar with him next week.
Yes, I saw the last one, but it's the day after, so I believe that there was some interference.
Very much.
But I did hear the audio.
Yes. So there was a very interesting thing that there was some interference on the call, but that didn't seem to affect it. But the people who were there heard the things that were there.
Okay.
And I remember, I just want to, you know, as an aside from this, there are sometimes things that should not be recorded. There are some, you know, Barbara's gone to bed, but I'm sure Three Crow would agree, is that there are some things which are actually just meant for the people who are there, and not for time immemorial, because it was just for them. And so though this is why it's really important, if you want to go to one of these Alex Collier webinars, there's a very special information here. I keep saying it's a very special webinar. Alex has been, you know, if you like, on a kind of monastic retreat in a difficult way. And he's got some high frequency information there. And it may be not for everybody, but maybe for the people who come. And if you're drawn to come, then you're supposed to be drawn to come.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, it's pretty cheap. It's $12, which is nothing. You know, two cups of coffee. You know, buy Alex a bloody cup of coffee, poor bugger. You know,
absolutely.
He's been living in a car. I'm not kidding. He's been living in a car. You know, how sorry for yourselves would you feel if you'd been living in a car for 3 years and you had cancer twice? You know. That's how sorry you'd feel for yourself. Anyway, I just wanted to put that in because, you know, he's a brother of ours and
absolutely.
So meanwhile,
and the Andromedans did say that they aren't going to leave any of their kin here on planet Earth, according to Andronicus.
Right, so the anybody who's Andromedan here may, well, probably will eventually not be here after a while. You may think that they have died, perhaps.
Right.
Somebody has to go, you know, you've got to go somewhere and go somehow.
Well, Alex, he did say that there is the aspect of him already, so... who knows if there's going to be an integration process in the near future, and we'll see it, you know. We'll enjoy Alex while we have him here. He's a great person.
Exactly. And, you know, he's like leading the way in a way, because...
I think he was a pioneer. He really was. I mean, early 90s.
Even now, even being in that... what you might call a destitute situation, it's like monastic. It's like, you know, the Buddha for 40 days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a discipline.
The dark night
of the soul, and he's certainly been through that. So, yeah, I'll get him back on the on this show soon in a space or two. We'll see what we can do about that.
Have you asked him about Andronicus?
I can't remember if I did it last time. Last time I connected with him, I sent him an email with the with all the papers in a document folder, and I don't know if he's read them or not. I haven't spoken to him since, so I'll have a check with him and see what he thinks. He's probably not seen them, I don't know. I'm interested in his response to it, whether he feels that's, you know, Andromedan galaxy constellation, that sort of thing. Yeah, whatever. So anyway, Alcyone. so there's Alcyone who sold us out to the reptilians. There's
Aldebaran.
Now the Aldebarans, they're according to Andronicus, they're all queens. They sound very much like the cat people, don't they? They're all queens. So.
The matriarchal society. I think they destroyed their own planet. I heard from Carrie Cassidy. She was told from an insider that the Aldebarans were going to be granted part of Africa. Which it was agreed upon, and then shortly after it was the onset of Ebola in that area that they were promised. So
clearances.
So who knows?
Yeah, they're probably trying to clear it.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, and I read today about a new superbug. So, they just keep trying, but if they destroyed their own planet, I mean, what are they going to do to Gaia? I don't think she's going to permit them onto this planet. Yeah. Even though they do have that connection with New Schwabenland and Antarctica.
And Germany, apparently. Some say that, I can't remember who said it, but the Aldebarans kind of farmed Germany. They were like, they found that the Germans were the most like them, and kind of encouraged them and helped them. So that's what was behind the Germans in the first Second World Wars, was this extraterrestrial aspect to them.
Perhaps genetically speaking.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is why, perhaps Maria. Now, Maria, hey, Maria Orsic comes into this, doesn't she?
Yeah, she was originally an Andromedan female, and she switched over to the dark side, so to speak. She went over to Aldebaran. Could you say how do you pronounce it?
I call them Well, you could say Aldebaranian or Aldebaran. You know, just call them Aldebaran, like, you know, like Canadian or something.
Yeah, well, okay, well, the Alds, you know, the Alds.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Debrons. Debrons. Bloody Debrons.
She apparently went over to them, and I'm not sure if she incarnated here or if she just time traveled here to the early 1900s to kind of just promote the industrialized age so that they can get that flying craft, that ancient technology.
Yeah.
Because she did have amazing psychic talents, you know, and she was able to get blueprints, and she was able to say red mercury, or, you know, which is, I think it's called heavy mercury. It's part
All
of
right.
the anti-graphitic.
Yes, did you hear my reading of Die Glocke?
Die Glocke. No, I did not.
Right. There's an interesting nugget from this. Go on. You heard what?
I heard the show that you had with Simon Parks about the Nazis and about that.
I see. So the background to it was I read a book which was the secret journal of the man who became Wolf Davis in the NASA situation after Operation Paperclip. They all changed their names and bleached their Nazi reality. But
they got sheep-dipped.
Yeah. This guy was captured in Castle Gzaz, in what is now Poland, and that's where they developed the Glock time space machine. And it was two counter-rotating vessels full of red mercury, which in the Aldebaranian channeler called it Vril. And he said it's a ferrofluid, it's a magnetic ferrofluid. The guy who heard the channel thought, oh, what the heck's all that about? I don't know. But he came back, told Martin Bormann. And Bormann said, oh, hang on, magnetic ferrofluid? Ah, our crazy scientist over here, what was his name? Werner Eckhart, is currently developing something he's calling Zerum 525. I wonder if they're the same thing. And it turns out, yes, they're both called red mercury. And that's the link. So, although they were all already working on it, but it's called red mercury. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, how coincidental that they happen to be working on that. I see the ETs feeding information to certain groups, just like a benevolent ones also can kind of just feed information. What was I gonna say? I was gonna say something. I lost my train of thought.
You have a radio in the background?
No, my Siri turned on just automatically.
Siri. Oh
yeah.
My god. Hey, do you know Siri is telling the internet everything that you say is actually decoded on the net. It's not decoded on your machine. So everything that you say into Siri is actually translated on the web.
Is that what Cliff High talks about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so it might be cool and flash, but it's actually spying on you. Because everything, even if it's not switched on, it's still listening, isn't it?
Oh, that's
listening. It's listening to keywords. Listening to keywords.
Yeah.
And
you said
something, didn't you? See?
Yeah.
Just goes.
I said ET's influencing us, and then all of a sudden I see a flash and it turned on.
Yeah, and your dog's freaking out as well. So, before the ship lands, let's just
Oh, heavens to Betsy.
Yeah.
Oh, but, you know, I don't know where you would like to take this, but this was, I wanted to know if you think that the Titans are actually the giants that are in stasis on planet Earth or not.
Well, this is the thing. Well, your dog seems to certainly agree. And he's Tibetan, so he's probably right. Yeah, see? Sweetheart. Good boy. Very good boy. You know, he's probably an ET.
I'm surprised that you can hear him, because he's on the other side of the house.
All right. Well, your microphone picks him up, and he's obviously psychically connected in with the show. So, good boy, Benji. Good boy. So, where were we? We're looking at the Catritons and saying, are the Catritons the sleeping giants of which Corey Good has been speaking?
Well, and also other people have been speaking about these previously to him, but the Ruiner actually said he communicated to some of them.
Okay, now I've not had time to follow Corey Good, David Wilcock, The Ruiner. All very interesting stuff, but really, I'm just so overpushed with time, I can't listen to these things anymore. I can't just spend any time. So, could you nutshell it for us, darling?
Sure. The Ruiner said he was, he was part of the Illuminati in group growing up. I'm sorry if I do any injustice to his telling of the story, but basically he said that that he was taken to a place where one of the giants was beginning to wake up, and he was asked, you know, to communicate with this and a giant, and I believe the giant was taken off planet. He woke up a little bit too soon. But what the government wants to do, the shadow government, is they want to try to use those giants against us, so to speak. He's trying to create these gigantic super soldiers. But I don't think that. I hope that's not going to happen.
So they're like taking DNA samples, and they want to grow some giants, just like in Lord of the Rings, those big kind of bull-headed things that they.
I don't know if they're taking DNA samples. They're anxiously waiting for them to wake up, trying to use them against us in some sort of way. But it might really backfire on them.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Yeah, I remember the story of Frankenstein, but also they've had problems with super soldiers also, which in reality they're called augmented soldiers. And personal part of what I have to say is that I have a brother who is in the programs, and I haven't heard anything about him in a very long time, but we were twins in a past life, so I have this connection to him.
So are you his contact on the outside?
I try to be, but the last time I tried to send him healing Reiki energy, just healing energy, because of all the trauma he's been through, I got in a lot of trouble, and my dog was killed in front of me. And I don't know if we have time for this, for me to explain it.
We got 15 minutes, so you know, let everybody know this is the kind of crap that goes on. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, after they sent a malicious spirit into a pit bull, and the pit bull got loose from across the street, and I was walking my dog and he attacked him. I mean, tore him to shreds. I could not get him off of him. It was horrific. I really, you know, what I saw that evening was so profoundly heart-shattering. He was everything to me. He showed me how to love. He showed me everything. So his name was Brody, and I just hope he's in a better place. In fact, I know he's in a better place. I've had dreams of him, and he's completely whole again. So, but shortly after that, I had a dream where I was, well, I call it a dream. It's a nighttime experience where I was taken somewhere by a female. She was like an escorting me to this fancy hotel condominium type of thing. It wasn't exactly Eyes Wide Shut, but there were people without clothes on who were doing, you know, certain things. And she took me to this silver condominium. It was, the wallpapers were covered in silver, and she told me to dress appropriately because we were having dinner with a very important person. So she had an outfit for me to wear. So we sat down, had dinner, and who shows up but one of the Rudd Shields. I don't like saying their names.
Okay, I think we get it. Jacob?
But, I think it was the other one, but I think it was the other one, but anyways, he showed up and we spoke in French, and he actually complimented me on my French. She sat there the entire time, kind of just as an intermediary. We ate as if nothing, you know, just proper, everything proper. And then he escorted me to a Bentley that had like a motorcade. We had like two or three black SUVs in the front and SUVs and other cars right behind us. I got into the car with him, and I remember the wood paneling inlay. So it was a very fancy car. And I remember him telling me, this was when the escort was no longer along, you know, escorting me around, but I remember him telling me, okay, you know what happened, right? And I was like, what? And he said, well, if you continue to do what we're doing, worse things than that can happen. And I said to him, I'm not afraid of you. I'm sovereign. And I'm created, you know, I belong to the divine creator. And that infuriated him so much. His eyes actually turned black, and they turned red, and they began to pulsate. And I remember after that, I got dropped off at this, I don't know, luxurious condominium place again, and I took a bath, and it seemed like it was a healing bath. There was a lot of vibrations, and there was a man who came in there. He told me, excuse me, ma'am, you're not supposed to be in here. And I said, I know, but it's okay. And then I came to in my room.
Fascinating. So was your hair wet?
was my hair wet? No.
I mean, you'd just taken a shower and, you know, was it, did you feel like you'd actually physically just taken a shower, or did it feel like you've just woken up from a dream?
No, it felt very much like a lucid astral thing. And it feels almost like, as if I'm placed into a body when I need to be a certain place that they take me in the astral form, and they place me into a physical body, and they have a female version of me, and they also have a male version of me. And it's not pleasant. that's
you are, I mean, obviously you're well read on this, but you've seen Avatar, and you know that the guy who was substituted for was his brother, because they had the same DNA.
I actually did not see the whole film. I saw it. I saw towards the end of it where they began attacking the planet. And
all right. Well, look. This is the bit for you, right? The purport of the story is that there's the program, you know, the Avatar program, Project Avatar, whatever they're going to call it. And they have these kind of pods that the people get into. And they kind of go to a sleep, and they get their brainwaves, and they are basically driving by remote control this genetically developed hybrid human blue giant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's developed for a particular soldier. But that soldier gets killed.
Yes.
And he's got a brother who's been injured and has a very wasted body. And so when he goes into the Avatar, it's like he can run for the first time. And the whole thing, you know, he gets very attached to this body. Let's put it that way. So go ahead.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the brother connection. Yeah, I find that very interesting. The last time I was taken, you know, this is hard to talk about. This is why, you know, this is the first time I'm ever coming out. This is not easy to talk about, and I'm aware of any consequences, but I believe in a higher power that protects.
The Rothschilds are scared of you, Lisa. They are running scared right now, and they can all go and screw themselves. So, let's see. See, you know, just say what you feel comfortable saying. Don't, I'm not going to force you.
No. Well, what I wanted to say was the last time I was taken, and I really do not appreciate this, and I say this because you know, I'm not the type to really curse or anything like that, but I do not appreciate this at all. This is against against my consent. This is against my soul. This is against everything. I was taken on Thursday, the November the 12th, and I was gone for about 3 days. I woke up drugged on a small plane, and there were three cameras aimed at me, and I was being escorted not by that older woman, but I was being escorted by this young Asian female, and Jessica and I kind of remote viewed it, and she said, "That's not a human, that's a reptilian, that he feels he owns you, and he tries to control you and takes you on to missions and all that." But I remember I woke up feeling on the airplane, I woke up feeling very, very drugged, as if I had a couple of cocktails and like a shot. It, like injection or something. It, uh-huh. it was it was horrible, but I was, but they were told, but they told me, oh, but you wanted to come. And I was like, to where? And we're going to South Carolina. I was like, where in South Carolina? To the Air Force base. So they ended up taking me to South Carolina Air Force base. And then after that, I remember screaming and, trying to tell somebody, please help me. They're kidnapping me. They're kidnapping me. And, there was a doctor there and she said, oh, this isn't you. This is an aspect of you. And after that, I don't remember too much. All I remember are a lot of screen kind of crazy memories. But it happened on the 12th. I was gone for 3 days. I do speak French. So we all know what happened on Friday the 13th. I was returned 12 hours later on the 13th, even though the time dilation was approximately 3 days. And I remember sleeping there, and I remember them giving me clothes, like, you know.
Lisa Mendelez, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Let's hope there's some clues for people out there. We might put all the dots together.
Yeah, we can continue next time.
Yeah, that's the end of the show. Thank you very much, everybody. Good night.